And you might like to open your Bible to the book of Romans for a moment. Romans and chapter 1. Romans and chapter 1. And being a special time when we have to really remember to try to stop and consider that awesome event that God covered with a robe of darkness that made everything come out right that was wrong, to make it all come out right. So, in the light of that, and Romans 1 always helps us to understand. So keep in mind, A, everyone that is born on planet Earth, God helps them to know him. And God, before the foundation of the world, had made provision for such. And therefore, verse 19, because that which may be known of God is manifest, made clear, public, plain, where? In them. Why is that clearly in the little baby? Because God has showed it unto them. And thus the invisible God, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Verse 19, they certainly know God, because God is there to help them, and no imperfection is to be found. And they are, verse 20, thus they are without excuse. Why? Because, verse 21, that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Now, just to remind us and refresh our memory, God is very awesomely glorious because he's God. And that's way out of our reach. He's glorious. And whatever he does is for his glory. God has a wonderful plan, has a wonderful plan to show forth his glory. And that centers in his wonderful person. So in and of himself, he is the centerpiece. Why is he the centerpiece? Because he's God. That's why he's a centerpiece. There is no one else. So that takes care of that one. There's no debate. If you're going to say, who did the dinner, who cooked the food, and you're the only one in the kitchen, and you're the only one eating, I guess you get all the credit. You get all the credit. God gets all the credit. Rightly so. Now, having said that, and keeping in mind that God has decided that he himself would provide and create and make possible a humanity that has choice. You have to have choice. Otherwise, you'd be robots. You have to have choice. And God, in doing that, understood that if choice is made, then people could make the wrong choice. So if you make no choice, then you can't make a mistake. But if there is choice, there's going to be a mistake. And therefore, God knew that. And therefore, the Lamb of God is slain before the foundation of the world in God's wonderful program. God knows. And the outworking of the plan involves the negative response to who he is. So, in the process, the Lamb of God is slain from the foundation of the world. And angels created back early, and angels had to have choice. And God gave them the opportunity when Lucifer, son of the morning, sinned And thus he fell and lost his job, lost his relationship to God in a good way. And therefore, all the angels had the right to choose. And they chose. Satan said, either me or God. And they chose Satan. They made a choice. Now, God, you go to the next step and create us humans. And here we are on planet Earth. And Adam and Eve are given an awesome privilege of having the Garden of Eden and having a unique personal relationship with God. And therefore, when God put them in the garden, and God said, there's only one thing I want you to do. Just don't eat, Genesis 2:17. Don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and if you do, it's intensive. You will certainly intensively die. You are absolutely going to die if you eat and take of that tree. There's no question. Verb is, boom, you're going to die spiritually, you're going to die physically, and you're going to go to the second death. It's certainly going to happen. Therefore, in God's wonderful, wonderful grace, Adam and Eve, when they sinned, they knew we shared all these things. And Adam and Eve had a unique privilege. They knew what it was like to know God. And they knew what it was like not to know him. And they made a choice. It didn't take them 10 seconds. They hid behind the tree, put a fig leaf in front of them, and then God said, how long is it going to take you to fix this? And they said, about 2 seconds to get out of this, to go out in front of you, God, to save us. And God did that. Cain and Abel never had that. They were born dead in sins. And therefore, they only know death. So they have no thing, but they have choice. They have choice, and they're told that choice. They can know God, Genesis 3:15, the same as their mother and father. Abel chose, Cain did not. And therefore, in that wonderful, wonderful thing, God created. Now remember God, choice, you have to have choice. God made light and darkness, life and death, good and evil, hot and cold, opposites. He made them. Otherwise, no choice. There's no choice. If everything's hot, there is no choice. He made the choice. Now, having said that little bit, in Isaiah 45 and all of that, we have to turn there. In the process, so therefore, when Adam and Eve took of the tree, when Adam sinned, Adam, he's the head. Where did the woman come from? Out of Adam. They all go back to one man, one creation, Adam. When Adam sinned, he died spiritually, and everyone in him died. And we are born spiritually dead. Hang on to that. In Adam is all the rest of us. And you have to understand, your Declaration of Independence, chapter, second paragraph, etc. You said, you understand you're created by God. Therefore, in that wonderful creation, God in his kindness and grace gave humans the right to choose. And therefore, that in their state of death, they knew not life. They didn't know life. They knew God's presence, Genesis 6, Genesis 11. They knew God's presence, but they didn't know God. It wasn't a question of God. They had no excuse. They know God. They just don't want to know. Romans chapter 1. When they knew God, they chose not to what? Know him. And they chose creation over the Creator to worship. Pretty simple. You know all that from Genesis 11. Now, having said that, so physical birth, that's what we all have. And what do we all have at physical birth that makes us unique? Every human being born on planet Earth has the right to choose. God, that's why you're born. That's why you don't get clobbered. Think of what we do in Sunday school worship. We're in the presence. God is we're in his presence. We would get clobbered if he wasn't being what? Giving you time to choose. Giving you time to choose. That's why you're here on earth, to choose. Make a choice. Back you see it. Deuteronomy. And in chapter 30. As you would remember, Deuteronomy and chapter 30. As you go, before they cross the Jordan River, they are reminded that they need to know him as their Savior. And in chapter 30, Deuteronomy, sliding down for time's sake, verse 19. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, said Moses, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. Hang on to that. You have to make a choice as a human. Are you either going to stay in a state of death, or are you going to choose life? I died, the last Adam, 1 Corinthians 15, the last Adam died for the first Adam. And when he took the sin of first Adam to the cross, he's part of my family and yours, Christ is, flesh and blood. And when he took part of that flesh and blood, when he paid the sin, don't want to get ahead of myself. Hang on. Chapter 30, choose both, that both thy seed, thou and thy seed may live. What do you mean, live? What life? Verse 20, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, that thou mayest obey his voice, that thou mayest cleave, be glued unto him. Why? For he is thy life. And the length of thy days, eternal life. God never dies. There, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. Choose life. You know it, John 14, 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. On the way, choose life. That's what I gave you. You have the right. Christ, the last Adam, died to make it possible. Hang on. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, and you know from Luke 19:10 and all that, our Lord Jesus Christ said, I came to seek and to save that which is lost. And remember, we shared lost on Sunday, lost. That doesn't mean using the watch. It doesn't mean I don't have the watch. It's just the watch is broken. It lost its value to me. And the watch is no good. It lost its purpose. If it was working, I'd have it. But it lost its purpose. I've come to seek and to save that which is lost. Now, having said that, over, if you would, to Ephesians. Over in Ephesians. And may I go. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. Now hang on. Ephesians is about your wonderful life in Christ, L-I-F-E, life in Christ in the heavenlies. Yeah, now, so, compare it. What are you saying to us, God? Chapter 2, verse 1. And you hath he quickened, made alive, who were D-E-A-D, dead. Yep. You who were dead, you're born spiritually dead. You have no connection whatsoever to life. Whose life? God's. You have no connection. You're born dead. In trespasses and sin, sliding over to verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. We were dead in sins. What did that make for us? It made a unique relationship to the devil. Chapter 2, verse 2. Wherein in time past, when you were dead, in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince, the ruler of the power, the right and the might, the ruler of the power of the air, the devil himself, spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation, manner of living in times past, lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. So we knew. You got saved. You made a positive choice. What did you choose? Chapter 2 and in verse 12. That in, at that time, when you were unsaved, you were without Christ, being aliens from a commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. What is the state of spiritual death? No hope, no God, no life. Chapter 2, chapter 4. Chapter 4, you're going to help us again. Verse 18. Having the understanding, I got to read verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that henceforth you walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, foolishness, thinking themselves to be God, they professing themselves to be wise, Romans 1, they became fools. Verse 18, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, no hope, no God, no life, through the ignorance that is in them because of blindness of their heart. What do you know about blindness? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 and 4. The god of this world, the devil, hath blinded the minds of them that believe not. They don't believe. They don't believe. And the devil, once you don't believe, as long as he got you not believing, all confused, whatever, he's got you. He's got you. He's got you. You're part of the system. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, if you would, so, and you know, without going back there in Romans in chapter 6, wonderful chapter, in chapter 6, verse 23, for the wages of sin is what? Death. And the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, God. So God is going to do something to help us have life. We only know death. That's all we know. So, God, you're going to do something wonderful for us. That's what you're going to do. So now, having said that little bit, over to the Gospel of John. And we'll turn the pages so you see it. John chapter 1. Gospel of John chapter 1. And you remember, verse 14, God put on a human house. 1:14, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And sliding over to verse 29, said John the Baptist, pointing to him, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and behold, saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. What did you tell us, John? Jesus Christ died to take away sin. The penalty of sin is death. He died to take away sin. Take it away, to get it away. So now, having said that little bit, and if I can, in picking up, please, in John chapter 4, and you'll see it better. What do we know? Our Lord Jesus Christ begins his public ministry for 3 1/3 years. And in the process, remember, here is an occasion where the disciples were to be educated. In chapter 4 and verse 33, therefore said the disciples one to another, hath man brought him what to eat? It was noontime, a lunchtime, and he hadn't eaten anything. Jesus saith unto them, My meat, my food, is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. So why was he here? Christ was here. He became flesh and dwelt among us to save us in his most wonderful way. And if we took time in Matthew 16, et cetera, 21, what did the Lord Jesus lay out in front of them? Do you understand, Peter, James, and John? Do you understand? I came to die. I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to suffer. I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to rise again. Do you all understand? Here's the disciples. Do you understand that, guys? Do you understand what's going to happen? I'm not here to do anything except to fulfill the will of God in a wonderful way. Otherwise, you, Peter, James, and John, and all of Luke, and all of you guys, you're going to stay dead in your sins if I don't do what I'm supposed to do. You're going to die. The day you eat, you're born dead, you're going to stay dead. So therefore, over in John and chapter 8, and in John chapter 8, picking up, if I may, and you remember in our Lord's wonderful humanity, he's going to go to the cross for us. And in the process, for 3 1/3 years, he demonstrates the perfect man, the man God intended, the perfect man, to be able to know him and honor God. That's the plan. You're created in the image and likeness to know him. Therefore, chapter 8, and verse 28. Then said Jesus unto them, When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know what? That I am he, that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things, that please him. I have a unique, wonderful, awesome relationship, the God-man. John 1:14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. God, you did a wonderful, wonderful thing. And just to see that, while you're here, stay it in John, in the light of John, what we're looking at, over to chapter 16. And in John chapter 16, what else do we remember, remind ourselves about our Lord? And in John chapter 16, our Lord, remember in the upper room, he reminds them straightway. Chapter 16, verse 28. I came forth from the Father, and I am come into this world. Again, I leave the world and go to my Father. Where did you come from? You're the God-man, right? the God the Son would have a body prepared for him in by way of the Virgin Mary, and thus born in Bethlehem of Judea. God attached himself in the incarnation to his to humanity. He's going to be the last Adam. The first Adam got us in. The last Adam's going to get us out. Now, hang on. So, having said that little bit, and verse 32, behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and ye shall leave me alone, and yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. God's always there, always there, always there, no question. And John chapter 10 helps us. John chapter 10, verse 17. Remember, I'm the good shepherd. Chapter 10, verse 17. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. Note, verse 18. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power, the right to lay it down. I have the power, the right to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. I have choice. God made Christ Jesus to have choice. He had the right to honor the will of God or not honor the will of God. He's perfect man. He has choice, the same as we do. He has choice. And he made the choice. He made the choice. That's wonderful. God did something. He chose. That's right. Hang on to that. Now, keeping that in mind, if you would, over to Hebrews. Hebrews in chapter 2. And in Hebrews chapter 2, you will remember, doing the book of Hebrews, verse 9, 2 and 9. We see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels. What for? For the suffering of death. As God, he can't die. But as man, he could. Verse 9, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Verse 14, for as much then as the verse 14, chapter 2, Hebrews, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same. Why? That through death he might destroy him that had the power of death. That's the devil. That is the devil. Verse 15, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. God did a wonderful thing in saving the people. So eternal life. Not just life, it's eternal life. It's God's life. You can talk about our life in a earthly way, it's a short life. When you talk about God's life, it's eternal life. The gift of he that hath a son hath life. What is life? Eternal life. The gift of God is eternal life in his most wonderful way. Now, tie that together a little better. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Second Corinthians in chapter 5, and you will note, 2 Corinthians 5, and picking up, if I may, directly verse 21, 5 and 21. For, reason, he hath made, God hath made him, Christ, to be death for us. Doesn't say that, does it? He made him to be sin for us. What's the penalty of sin? Death. He didn't make him death. He made him sin. He took my sin, Adam's sin, in his own body. That's what he did. To what? So that he could pay the penalty of sin, death. That we might be made, verse 21, the righteousness of God in him, in the place of, on behalf of God, you know. And you know, if you took time to read in Isaiah 53, et cetera, et cetera. He was no beauty. He was beaten, battered, bloody, everything. He was everything, beaten up in every way. So therefore, with that in mind, having that in mind, he has to suffer. He's made sin. What is the penalty for a sinner? Death. Christ is life. You're going to pay with your life. Death. Christ has to die. I came, John 16, 21. I came to die. Now, over to the Gospel of Luke. Luke, if I may, in chapter 22. Now you know in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, in the four windows to look at our Lord Jesus Christ and his wonderful ministry. And all of them point to the garden. He goes to the garden after the upper room before they come to arrest him. And in the garden, he takes a stone's throw away. And as you pick up in the Gospel of Luke, in chapter 22, Luke 22, verse 43, and there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And he began to be in agony. He prayed, and he began, and being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Agony, to go into conbus, a violent struggle, a contest within his own heart. He's perfect man, and he has to become perfect sin, the very opposite. Very opposite contest. And this is the only, remember, Luke is a physician. He's a doctor. So you have here in Luke what you won't find in the three others. What? That his sweat, the agony as he's a stone throw away, the sweat, the agony of the conflict in his heart. The sweat included blood. The trauma of such an event. Blood dropped from his skin. The agony, the contest. And only Luke adds it to help me see it. Yeah. Yeah. He's the perfect Son of God. And God is always pleased. Now, he's bearing our sin. God, you know from Luke, take this cup from me, this hour, but if it is necessary in your will, let it be so. Not my will be done, but your will be done. That's what it's all about. John 4:34. I came not to eat and drink, I came to die. I came to fulfill the will of God in God's wonderful, wonderful way. Now, having said that little bit, made him to be sin for us, the agony. So he paid. He paid for Adam's sin. When he paid for Adam's sin, he paid for my sin. Where did I get my sin? Where did I get dead? I didn't do anything. My mother just had me come. What can I tell you? I didn't do anything. I don't even know anything. God died for Adam's sin. That's what he did. And when God died for Adam's sin, He died for mine and yours. That's what he did. Do you understand that? See, you don't get all over the place. You know, you have to understand why it's there. Because you're in Adam, and the last Adam saves you in a wonderful, wonderful way. Therefore, in Adam sinned. So therefore, in the blood, in God's beaten, bloody, battered body, Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. Picking up, if I may, on the cross. And on those hours, the last 3 hours in particular, 12 noon to 3 p.m. And you'll note, you know it, but just remind yourself, chapter 27, the Gospel of Matthew, verse 45. And from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land, all of Judah at least, unto the ninth hour. God put a darkness in the middle of the day, noontime, and God made it night. That had to be, if I was there, if you were there, you'd have to say something's going on. Something's going on besides an eclipse. Now, so therefore, verse 46, and about the ninth hour, Jesus, 3 o'clock, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, 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 Eli it is, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why hast thou forsaken me, God? That's what I want to know. Why do it? Why did you do it? Because on those 3 hours, God, the God-man, God, separated himself so that the perfect humanity of Jesus Christ was missing God's wonderful deity. God can do it. He drew back. And in those last 3 hours, whereas here's our Lord Jesus Christ, the Word become flesh in his perfect humanity, and here he is with what? God. What's missing? God is. What's missing? Life. What is it like to be lost? What is it like to go to hell and spend forever before God, but you can never get to him? That's awesome. Awesome. I bore. What is it like to be lost? What is it like to be dead? It is to be without his life. God was made sin for us that knew no sin. And he is what? Forsaken. That means I'm without God, without hope, without covenant, I'm without everything. I'm in the presence of God, but I'm missing all that he created me for. He created me to know him in a most wonderful, wonderful way. And therefore, the question rises, why? Why me, God? What's the reason? The reason for this? Remember, he's bearing my sin and yours in his own body. He's knowing what it's like to be without life, without God, having no hope, no help, no nothing. I got nothing, God, except existence. And I know it is more than existence. So why? Now, so what do we know? Well, in the process, what do we know? Well, the world didn't care for 3 1/3 years publicly. The Jews crucified me. They wanted to kill me. They hunted me down. My family rejected me. My family did. My half-brothers and sisters. They all rejected me. Well, my disciples in the upper room, they all left me. I'm all alone. I'm all alone. God, I don't mind. They all left me. That isn't my problem, God. My problem is, Why did you leave me? Why did you leave me? Not the people. The people don't care. They don't care for nothing. But God, you do. And my question, why? Why? Can you get it? That's awesome. That's awesome. Why? What reason? I came from you. I'm your creation. You're paying the price. The Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. The most glorious, wonderful thing that you yourself, God, you yourself, are going to go to the cross. And you, in your unique incarnation, are going to die for all of us little guys to save us. Who gets all the glory? You don't have to turn there first. John 13, 31, 32. The Lord Jesus said, I'm glorifying you. I'm going to the cross. The cross is all about your glory, God. It's all about you getting glory. Who sent him to the cross? God did. Why did he go to the cross? Not because of the Pharisees, not because of the Jews. He went to the cross to pay the penalty in the will of God for our sins in his own body on the tree. And so God, in your wonderful, wonderful commitment, in your wonderful, wonderful way, you did what you did as only you can do it. Are you getting the idea? I could go on trying to drive home. It's a huge, wonderful thing to be understanding. It's an awesome thing, really. I even hate to get up here to do it because no one else. We flip around with the Bible and God, we give you a little lesson. You know, we aren't talking about lessons. We're talking about life. We're talking about God's awesomeness. And the dumb world is blind because of their unbelief. And the devil keeps them that way, stupid about the whole thing. Stupid. They play the fools. Now, so therefore, at least in closing, over, if you would, as you would guess, over to the book of Hebrews. And in the process, the book of Hebrews, and in chapter 13, as again you would guess, and rightly so, the agony, to forsake, to leave alone, to leave in the lurch, to abandon, to walk away from. Why did you forsake me? And here, you know it, chapter 13, if I can, in verse 5, let your conversation, your manner of life, be without covetousness. For, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And remember now that those little, I will never leave thee, you see, are five negatives. Five negatives. Never, 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 never. What do you think never, 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 never means? You want to interpret that? Never means never. Good. Never. I can't. I died. You can't get out of your old nature being dead in sins, and you wonderfully can't get out when you believe in me and know me as your Savior. You can't get out of your relationship to me, which is life. You can't get out of it. You can mess it up, something fierce, but you can't get out of it. Now, so, and therefore, not forsake, there's your little word. God said, why have you forsaken me? But God can never forsake you, period. And that's where you're looking. So therefore, we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I shall not fear what man shall do unto me. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do that at all. Verse 8, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. God's wonderful, wonderful grace, I choose. Think of Joshua years ago in chapter 24. I choose I choose. For me and my house, I choose. I choose to God, to be God's. Now, what are we going to say? I choose. I have chosen. I have the right to choose. Choice. And I have chosen to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. My choice. And I choose to do it. That's what communion is. Do this in remembrance of me. Did you make that choice? If you made that choice, then understand what I've done for you. I've given you an awesome relationship to who I am. And when you mess around with it, it cost me awesome agony for you to have such a relationship. And I don't mind doing it at all. It was a delight for me to die for you. And it ought to be in wonderment for you to trust me with all your heart. It ought to be a wonderment. Not something you struggle with. Oh, I think I'm a Christian. I'm going to heaven. Maybe I'm going to heaven. You know, let me do all that. Ah. No, I got to quit. My Savior, my substitute, my sacrifice, my satisfaction, all of it. All of it, my Lord, in you, in your saving grace. So therefore, my body is made to go to the cross. My body is for your body to be able to have the sins paid for. I'm going to take your sin in my own body to the tree. And God is going to judge the tree. And I'm on the tree. I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to be crucified to take your death so that you can have my life. I take away your death so that you could have my life. That's what I did. That's what I did. Hope you got a little bit. Communion. Do this being mindful of who I am. That's why we do it. Yeah, I choose, and you, I hope, choose to be wonderfully saved. And the people up and down the street in your neighborhood where you work or to school, they have the right choice. They have the same choice. Do they, will they make that choice? It's up to them. They have the right to choose. I can't tell them. I can tell them, if you choose the wrong thing, you're in trouble. That's all I can tell them. I can't make the choice for them. That's why it says, Philippians 2, 12 and 13, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Because you can't do anybody else's. Thank you.